From a room high in the Ossian Tower, Waglin watched the Millennium Falcon emerge from a private docking bay and launch for the sky. Merging with outbound traffic, the century-old freighter rose on a column of blue energy and disappeared from view.
"They're on their way to Taurus now,"
the Weequay was saying into a comlink.
"I'm watching them with my own eyes."
He paused to listen.
"You're right. Who'd want to tangle with Han Solo and a Jedi? But Solo has a lot of influential friends, and I thought he might be a way for you to get what you're after. Besides, Solo's a far cry from the hotshot he was. Slower on the draw."
He listened some more.
"That's up to you, of course. But I agree. You'd have to give him a good reason for helping you. I'm just being neighborly by letting you know he's headed your way. There's one more thing. They're traveling with a young girl, some war orphan they adopted a few years back."
Waglin waited, then said,
"I don't have any permacrete ideas to offer along those lines. I'm just saying that the Solos would probably do anything for her."
Waglin listened.
"I appreciate that. You didn't hear about her from me, though. Old-timers like us have to stick together. Plus, I've got a job and a reputation to protect."
The being at the other end of the communication spoke for a while.
"That could work. Good luck with it, then. And let me know how it ends."
Chapter 16. As a much younger man, Jeddak had done his fair share of planet hopping, but few of the trips he had logged could match the 2 days it took him to travel from Obroa Sky to the Smuggler's Moon. Going by way of Balmora and Onderon in an effort to foil possible pursuers. To his eyes, the galaxy had changed that much. There was a time, for instance, when Nar Shadda's spaceport officials couldn't have cared less who arrived on the moon, or for what purpose. 62 years later, human visitors had to submit to retinal and body scans. Basic was still the prevalent language of trade and exchange, but Outer Rim accents were now heard as often as core dialects, and perhaps as a result of what the Yuuzhan Vong had wrought during their push for Coruscant. You encountered fewer beings from Perlimian trade route worlds and more from the outlying systems. Putting their war reparations to work, Corellians and Wookiees were scarce, busy rebuilding their worlds and putting out fires. The only place a traveler might rub elbows with a Kuwadi was in Premier class. Jedi had never been a common sight, even when they were 20,000 strong. Now, they were said to be as rare as Minok teeth. What you saw instead, and in unsettling numbers, were members of various militaries, security personnel, and surveillance droids of all description. The sight that had widened his eyes the most was a band of Mandalorians strapped into their cumbersome trademark armor and marching down a spaceport concourse like they owned the place. A near mythic group when Jeddak was piloting for the Republic group. In many ways, the galaxy seemed as wide open as it had been in the years preceding the Trade Federation's embargo of tiny Naboo.